Well, morning, folks. It's good to be with you here at Church in the Marketplace. And if you've tuned in online, we pray that you will have a very real sense of God's presence in your circumstances and in your life situation. And we're glad that you're joining with us. Have you ever felt like God has some kind of heavenly voicemail system? You've made a call to him, you've left a message on the answering machine, but when is he going to get back to you? Or you've called and it's kind of like you've got voicemail. For a new job, press 1. For better kids, press 2. No, sorry. But we've all felt like that. We've all had a season of waiting. And the truth is, many of us long for something. There's something in our lives that it seems like we can't get by our own wit, our own schemes, our own finances, our own endurance, our own charm and charisma. And it's not working, and it seems like it's something only God can grant, and God hasn't said yes yet. We pray, we say, God, I'll do anything. I'll go to church. I'll read a book. I'll read the Bible. I'll listen to Peter's message again. I'll do anything. And if only I could get married. If only my parents would come to the Lord. If only that job would come through. If only our finances would turn around. And nothing seems to be working. And we even try manipulating God, but that doesn't work. It's a season of waiting. Maybe it's just a little thing, but for you right now, it's the only thing that matters. It's what you think about every day. It's a season of waiting. So today we're going to talk about how we handle a season of waiting, and more than that, how do we grow during a season of waiting? So why does God make us wait? I think that's a good question. If God can create the universe, ex nihilo we say, it's Latin for out of nothing. If God can do that, why do we have to wait? Does that make sense? If God can do things immediately, first there's nothing and then there's time and space and matter. If he can do that, why do we have to wait? And the answer seems to center around what waiting does for us. What happens inside of us when we wait? Because waiting seems to be one of God's great tools for our growth. How do I know that? Because the Bible shows us again and again and again how waiting is a tool. Before we look at how to wait and the way waiting helps us to grow, let me show you two or three things that the tool of waiting does in our lives. As we prepare to do that, let's pray. Lord, most of the time we don't like waiting. We want what we want, when we want it, and mostly that's now. So it's kind of, Lord, we grapple with this idea of waiting and that somehow you're using that to grow us and develop us. Lord, help us just to understand that so that as we wait for things into the future, we will do that with some more understanding and with some more patience and looking to you for what you're doing in us during the times that we wait for something. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the Bible says waiting does a number of things for us. One, it says, is that it renews our strength. Isaiah teaches us that God wants to give us a new kind of strength. Do you ever feel like you've just run out? People have just finished doing the alpha thing. Your tank is on empty, emotionally, physically, spiritually. And it seems that waiting is one of the ways that God refills our tank. Waiting is one of the ways that God uses to help us get recharged. So in that famous passage in Isaiah, Isaiah gives us this picture of waiting in order to mount up with wings like eagles, to run and not be weary, to walk and not faint. Well, I like the picture. I need that kind of strength in my life. Walking, enduring, standing, but not wearing out. Running, giving out energy, but not wearing out. Mounting up with wings like an eagle, doing things that I never thought I could do because of God's strength through waiting. Waiting forces us to stop so that God can recharge our spiritual batteries. And we all need that sometimes. Let me let you in on a little secret. You are not the ever-ready bunny. You're not the ever-ready wife. You're not the ever-ready husband. You're not the ever-ready Christian. A lot of us would like to think we are. We want to keep on going and going and going, and we think that's what real faith is, that's what real life is, but it's not. We were made to have times of waiting in our lives, and God uses those times to recharge us, to get us going in the right direction, so it renews our strength. The second thing we're told is it refines our character. Romans 5, 3 to 4 says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they're good for us. They help us learn to be patient, and patience develops strength of character in us. It's like an assembly line, really. We get on this assembly line of character, and it starts with waiting. When we respond with patience, God develops strength of character in us. It's a bit like waiting for a Polaroid picture to develop. You snap the picture, but it takes a bit of time for it to develop. God uses times of waiting to develop us. The Bible says one of the reasons that we have to wait is because God loves us enough to want to develop us, not just give us what we want. So waiting develops my character. If you're like me, you'd rather have your character developed without having to wait. I'd like God to have a different assembly line, but the Bible says it doesn't work like that. That's not how we're made. You can't make steel without tempering it. You can't develop character without going through some times of waiting. That's how we're built, and God as our creator knows that, and we just have to wait. Third thing it does is it refocuses our purpose. Look at what the Bible has to say about the expert, the Olympic champion of waiting. His name was Job. James says about Job, you've heard about Job's patience and you know the Lord's purpose for him in the end. See, on the other side of patience is the renewal of God's purpose for our lives. That's what happened for Job. As he waded through those difficulties in his life, through those terrible tragedies, on the other side he found more blessing and purpose than he'd ever had before. You see, if God wants to change the direction of our lives to better the direction of our lives, before he can change our direction, he's got to get us to stop. Once God has stopped us, then he can turn us in the direction he wants us to go. So waiting refocuses or helps refocus the purpose of our lives, because we want what we want when we want it. But God doesn't give us what we want when we want it. We think that's because God doesn't want us to have what we want when we want it. But the truth is, God doesn't want to give us what we want when we want it, because God wants to give us more than we could ever dream of. We want a little, and God wants to give us much. And waiting is one of the ways God refocuses our purpose so that he can give us what he wants to give us. One of the great stories in the Bible about that is 1 Samuel 1 to 3. You can read it at home sometime. It's the story of a woman named Hannah. Hannah waited for children. The difficult thing about Hannah is that her husband also had another wife, Peninnah, who kept having children, and she wasn't too kind to Hannah about it. In fact, the Bible literally says that Peninnah provoked her bitterly to irritate her. How would that feel? You're not able to have children, and your husband's other wife, apparently they had more than one wife back then, was saying, I've got one, Hannah, how about you? Look what I've got. Look what you don't have. Year after year that happened, she had more children and Hannah had none. Year after year, Hannah would go to the temple. She would talk to God about it. God, I pray that you would send children into my life. And she waited and she waited. The Bible tells us that one day God answered her prayers and God sent into Hannah's life a boy. We never hear the name of any of Peninnah's children, but we do know the name of Hannah's boy. His name was Samuel. Samuel became the great prophet of Israel. Samuel became the great leader who laid hands on Saul and on David and said, you're going to be the king. What was God doing? Why did he make Hannah wait? Because while Hannah was waiting, he was developing her life and her character. She was developing patience. She was developing a prayer life and a trust in God. And don't you think when that little boy Samuel was growing up that Hannah didn't pass some of those things along to him? Of course she did. In order to develop a Samuel, God first had to develop a Hannah. And he did it through a time of waiting. He wanted to give her more than she could ever dream of. God uses a time of waiting to refocus our purpose. Truth is, sometimes we have to wait for the best. We tell it that to our kids. Sometimes you just got to wait for the best. That's just the way it is. But we hate it when God says that to us. But it's true. Waiting, it renews and it refines and it refocuses our strength and our character and our purpose. Now, some of you may be thinking, I've spent a lot of time waiting and none of those things have happened for me. How come I'm not seeing those things happen? And it's important to understand that it's not just that we wait, but it's also how we wait. If the fact that we waited developed our character, for instance, then the people with the best character in Sydney would be the people in rush hour traffic on the M5 when it's all jammed up. And I know for a fact, because I'm on the M5, that those aren't people with the best character. It is not just waiting, it is how we wait. How can we grow through a season of waiting? Someone said, we haven't learned how to live until we've learned how to wait. Why? Because we spend so much of life in the waiting room. If I think I'm not living while I'm waiting for something, I'm going to spend a lot of my life feeling like I'm not living. So how can we grow through a season of waiting? The first thing I think Scripture says is that we wait for the Lord. Isaiah 49:23 says, those who wait for me shall never be ashamed. Those who wait. And remember, Isaiah 40 said, those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Wait for the Lord. When we wait, what are we waiting for? And that's the real question this morning. Are we waiting for the Lord? Or are we waiting for the answer? Are we waiting for what we want to happen? Or are we waiting for God to act? Too often you see we wait for the answer and God just happens to be the way we want to get the answer. We've tried everything else a lot of times and that didn't work. So now, last resort, I'm going to try and pray. I'm going to talk to God and I'm going to ask God for the answer that I need. So we're waiting for the answer. But the Bible says make it more personal than that. The Bible says wait for, not the answer, the Bible says wait for the Lord. So we need to make our waiting less goal-oriented and more God-oriented. Instead of waiting for this one thing to happen, we can turn our eyes to God and say, God, I'm waiting for you to be at work. I'm waiting on you because you're the one in control. Waiting for you and me can be a powerful personal experience of trust. Times of waiting are often our greatest opportunities to trust in God. Sometimes I suspect when it comes to asking God for things we're waiting for, We see it like some heavenly wheel of fortune game. I get my chance, I walk up to the wheel and I spin it and I see what I get. If I'm lucky, God gives me what I want. But if I'm unlucky, I don't get what I want. Truth is, a lot of times we think it's luck, we think it's good fortune, but it's not. We're waiting on a powerfully personal God who knows us and loves us and cares for us. We're waiting on a powerfully personal God. We're waiting on God to act. Isaiah 64:4 says, for since the world began, no one has seen or heard of such a God as ours who works for those who wait for him. We're not just waiting for the answer to come. We're waiting for God to act. We're not just waiting for good fortune or for our ship to come in. We're waiting for God to act. And Isaiah 64 tells us that while we're waiting, God is working. Sometimes The opposite to that is true. While we're working, God is waiting. While I'm trying to do it my way and figure out all the ways I want to do it, God's saying, well, when you're tired of wearing yourself out, just come back to me then and let me know. I want to be a part of this. I want to be part of answering the prayer. God is working for those who wait. It's a powerfully personal experience of trust. Now, I want to be quite careful here because I know how some people take this. Does that mean that while I'm waiting on God, I just to go sit in the lounge chair and get my potato chips and just wait for God to act and all? That's all I've got to do? Well, no. When I'm waiting, I'm trusting. We need to learn to wait in a different language. We need to learn to wait in the Hebrew language, which the Old Testament is written in, rather than in the English language. You see, in English, the word wait for us means stop. Dead in the water, red light, I'm not going anywhere. That's what it means to wait in our language. But in the Hebrew language, the word wait means trust. Put your eyes on God and recognize during this time of waiting that He and He alone is the one who can answer my prayer and fulfill my needs. Psalm 37:7 says, wait and trust in the Lord. Don't be upset when others get rich or when someone else's plans succeed. Can you relate to that? I'm trying to trust in God for something to happen. Maybe something financial in my family, something personal. I'm waiting on Him. I'm talking to God about it and I'm doing okay and I'm trusting Him. And then all of a sudden they get what I was waiting for. What does that do to you? You start feeling, God, I'm obviously more spiritual than they are. Why are they getting it? It messes with our mind. The Bible says, don't worry about them. God has a different purpose for their lives. Wait and trust in God. One of the main things that creates in us is a desire to stop waiting. Sorry, one of the main things that creates in us a desire to stop waiting is when other people get what we want. They may even use the wrong way to get it. But we don't know the end of the story yet. The end of the story in our lives, if we wait, is going to be a great ending. Isaiah 64, remember, for since the world began, no one has seen or heard of such a God as ours. If I'm going to wait in a way that develops me as God wants to, I have to learn to wait on God and not just wait on the answer. How can I do that? Every time I start to think about what we're waiting for and what we're struggling with, go to Isaiah 64:4. It will keep reminding us where the answer is. It's in God. We're waiting on God to act. When the time is right, I can get confident of the fact that He will act. Second thing I want to say is we wait in a crowd. We're not alone when we wait. There's an incredible difference between waiting alone and waiting in a crowd. Ever been stuck at the airport all by yourself and you have to wait alone? You know, in LA airport for 10 hours before your flight comes back to Australia. Time just drags by. But when you're with your family or a big group of people, you can enjoy being there. You can have a party. There's a difference between waiting alone and waiting in the right kind of crowd. So I want to introduce you to a couple of kinds of crowds that we all wait in. One is in the Bible. It's filled with stories of people who waited from A to Z. From Abraham, who waited for a son, to Zechariah in the New Testament, who waited for a son. His name was John the Baptist. From the book of Genesis, Noah, who waited years for a flood to come while he was building an ark, to Revelation, John the Apostle, who waited in exile on the island called Patmos, and God gave him a revelation there. It's filled with stories of people who waited for God to act. Here's a couple. Paul, Nehemiah, Daniel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Joseph, Mary, Peter, Joseph, David, Elijah, Ezra, Isaiah, Aaron, Adam, Esther, Ruth, Hannah, Hosea, Gideon, John the Baptist, Sarah, Leah, Martha, Lazarus, waiting in a tomb for 4 days, Joshua, Samuel, Caleb, Noah, Naomi, Job. That's just a few. There was Joseph in the Old Testament who waited to become ruler over Egypt, and there was Joseph in the New Testament who, father of Jesus, waited for 2 years down in Egypt to come back so the king wouldn't kill Jesus. They waited, every one of them. When you read their stories, it's an incredible encouragement to us. Hebrews 6 says, and so, after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Now, you may be thinking, those are all great people of faith and I could never wait like that. The Bible tells us Abraham waited patiently, but the real story was Abraham struggled while he waited. God told him he was going to have a son, but he waited 25 years before that son was born, and he struggled. While he waited, Abraham said, God, I don't see a son being born. I got a better idea. Let's make my nephew the heir. Instead of me having a real son, let's sort of transfer the title over to him. How about that for a great idea, God? And God said, no, you got to wait. Then one time God came to Abraham and Sarah and said, you're going to have a son, and they laughed. That's some kind of faith, isn't it? And Abraham decided he'd take matters into his own hands, and he decided that he'd have, through his wife's maid servant, a son. And he did, and he named his son Ishmael, but that wasn't the son that God wanted. Yet you look at the New Testament and the Bible says, look at this guy. He's an example to you of patience. He's an example to you of what it means to wait in the right kind of way. Apparently it's okay to struggle while we wait. Apparently, when it comes to waiting, it's not how we struggle during the time of waiting. It's do we trust God all the time, all through that time? And we may have a couple of stumbles, a couple of times when we trust in ourselves rather than Him. But Abraham kept coming back to trusting God every time he came back. So if you've been struggling a while and you've been waiting, join the club, join the crowd. They all struggled while they waited. We all struggle while we wait. That's part of what develops us. We wait in a crowd, in a great crowd of people. Hebrews 12:1 says, since we have such a huge crowd of men of faith watching us, kind of talking about all the people who've gone before us, who've loved the Lord, it pictures us like they're in the grandstands watching us and cheering us and saying, hey, we waited. You can wait too. You can do it. It says, let us run with patience that particular race that God has set before us. There's another crowd we wait in. That's the crowd right here. You're a crowd of people who have waited. If we started talking with each other, we'd find five or six things that each of us has waited for in our lives. We've seen God work, many of us. The encouragement that we can give one another helps us through times of waiting. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, so encourage each other and give each other strength. That's something you can do while we have a cup of coffee. We have people around us who have waited for a job, who have waited to get married, who have waited for ministry to happen. When we go through times of waiting, there's a couple of feelings that we can have. One is the feeling, what's wrong with me that I'm having to go through this time of waiting? And the other is, what's wrong with them that I'm having to go through this time of waiting? Sometimes what's wrong with them becomes what's wrong with God that I'm having to go through this time of waiting. What's wrong with me always results in guilt. What's wrong with them always results in anger. We wait in a crowd. We look at the people of faith then and now, and they've all waited. And there was nothing wrong with them, and there is nothing wrong with God. It was part of His process of growth in their lives. So stop beating yourself over the head and saying, there's something wrong with my faith. I'm not praying well enough. It's because I sinned last week. That must be it. That's not it. God is growing us up through seasons of waiting in our lives. When I say we wait in a crowd, I don't necessarily mean a big crowd. We can find a small group where we can hear stories of waiting and it can encourage us. But we wait in a crowd. The last thing is to remember that God waits for you. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow in doing what He promised, the way some people understand slowness. But God is being patient with you. He does not want anyone to be lost, but He wants all people to change their hearts and lives. When we're going through a time of waiting, one of the healthiest things that you and I can do is say to ourselves, God is patient with me. He's patient with me because He's growing me, because He wants to change my heart and life. When I look at God, He has incredible patience with me. See, I make the same mistakes over and over again. I know you're different, but I do. Same ones. God must look at me and say, can't you be more creative and think of a different mistake? Same ones. But he's patiently helping me to grow. I commit the same sins over and over again, and God patiently forgives again and again. He has incredible patience. When I remember how patient he is with me, it helps me to be patient with the circumstances in my life. Colossians 1:11 tells us what God wants to do during these circumstances, what his patience can do with us. It says, God will strengthen you with his own great power so that you won't give up when troubles come, but you will be patient. Not only does God want us to be patient, but he's willing to strengthen us to be patient. We're not even alone in trying to be patient. Isaiah 30:18 says, the Lord still waits for you to come to him so he can show you his love. God is patiently waiting for us to come to him. I know how some of you must feel. I've blown it so many times. I've ignored God for so long in my life. I can't even believe I'm sitting in a church now. How can I come to him when I've ignored him so much? It would almost be embarrassing to come to him now. Folks, God is patient with us. God waited 400 years to set his people free out of Egypt. He waited over 4,000 years after he made the promise that Jesus would come into the world before he sent him. And you think you're wearing him out because he made you wait 10 or 20 or 50 years? Who are we kidding? God is patient with us. God still waits for us to come to him so that he can show us his love. He hasn't stopped waiting. God wants to give us the strength to wait. But God is also waiting for us to show us his love. Let's pray. As we pray, some of you might want to use this moment in your heart to come more closely to God. Say, God, you've been waiting for me. You don't have to wait anymore. I want to trust you the best I know how with the way I run my everyday life. Thanks for sending Jesus. Please show me how to trust. I trust you to forgive me for the wrong things I've done. I trust you to lead and guide my life. I don't want you to have to wait for me a second more. And God, I'm sorry that it's taken me so long, but thank you for waiting for me. Some of you might want to talk to God about a particular thing you're waiting for in your life. God, I'm willing to wait for you. I've been tempted to do it my own way. Thank you for reminding me to wait for your way. I'm willing to wait for your best in my life. Lord, while I'm waiting, please help me to trust you. And Lord, we've talked to you and shared with you, and we praise you for giving us all these examples of people of faith. Men and women in the Bible who waited because of their faith, for reminding us it's not something wrong with us or wrong with you. It's part of the way you develop strength and character and purpose in our lives. So, Lord, would you grow us through our seasons of waiting, the ones that we're facing even right now. Lord, we're honest. We want you to grow us quickly so that we can get through the season of waiting. But we also want you to do the work in our lives that you're intending and you're purposing to do. So, Lord, we're waiting for you. We're waiting for you, the one who loves us the most, to act. We don't want you to wait for us, so we're coming to you to let you know that we trust you, God. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's sing as